Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Disney's made another animated film. Does this one suck? Star Trek Lower Decks is crossing over with Strange New Worlds. Plus, Metal Gear Solid is getting remastered and the Fast Saga is getting a spinoff, maybe. All that and more on today's episode of Breaking Geek Radio.
Hello and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online. I'm your host, and I'm confused by Jammer's opening because he said Disney made another live, or they said they made another animated feature.
Did I say that? Oh, shit.
You did.
They made a live action of another anime feature. You're right.
You just stepped on your own dick.
Damn, I'm Disney here. Making animated features.
Fuck that.
What are they doing?
I'm here with a triangle of the Ladtastic, and we're here to talk about all of those things that Jammer just mentioned. We're going to jump right into it. We've got all these great things to talk about. Let's do our non-spoiler Mastodon reviews.
Mastodon.
We're fuck Twitter.
Are you on Mastodon?
We're done.
Are you using Mastodon?
I'm on it now. I'm on it right now.
Are you using it?
I'm on Mastodon's dick.
Okay.
Do it. Jammer, let's hear it.
I've never felt dumber than trying to get onto Mastodon and then it's saying, what server do you want to be on? I was like, no, this is not happening.
We're done.
Is it?
And then
I tried
to research into it and then I was just like, no, this is not.
Is this
it.
ICQ, like modern ICQ or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like
ICQ.
It's like Discord, right? So you can have an account and all this other stuff, but you're like in individual servers as opposed to like, you know, what is some giant stream of folks talking.
Be quiet, Zillennial over there. We're not talking to you. We're talking grown-up stuff here.
So, my Mastodon review of Little Mermaid. I think this might be the best live-action adaptation of their animated properties to date? I'll leave it there.
I'm excited over here. I was ready. Yeah, you're going to get fucked on this. I was ready to fight you guys on this. And I was like, I know what Danny thinks. I don't know what Jammer thinks, but I'm ready to fucking fight. But let's hear it, Danny. You go ahead. You throw your shit in the ring and let's see what you think of this film. Let's hear it.
All right, I'm going to stay on Twitter then. This is another movie from Disney that the quote, just because you can doesn't mean you should, fits perfectly well. I was bored, and the finale, the final act, looked and felt like it was written by a 5-year-old with a 10-minute timescale.
What are you talking about?
It's verbatim from the cartoon.
What are you talking about? Sorry, we're interrupting your Twitter stream. Keep tweeting.
You're going to subtweet?
No, that's my tweet. I need mildly better letter score than fast
so,
X.
Hashtag thread. I'm going to put on my Twitter blue hat for this. I'm gonna start with a story.
Are you
start
paying $8 a month for it?
I'm gonna pay $8 for this tweet. Can I tell the story first?
Yes.
I just want to tell you guys a story so you can understand the prism through which I see this movie. So my parents got divorced when I was 2 years old, and when I would see my dad every other weekend, but whatever the movie was that week, the big movie, we would go see it. And so I would see it with my dad or I would see it with my mom. And so that's how movies became my happy place, right? So that's where I could go with my popcorn and my Twizzlers and my soda and just feel feelings. Because generally speaking, I'm not a person that cries, right? Like, I just don't. But going to the movies allows me to just have all my walls down and feel whatever it is I'm feeling. So when it comes to movies, when they can get the father-son, father-daughter, or mother-son, mother-daughter motivations correct, you've got me for a lot of the film. I'll give you a lot of leeway for what I'm seeing. And so, like, Creed, I thought was a fantastic example of that. And so when I say, like, for me, this is an A to an A-plus movie, that's what I'm seeing this through. I will say this. I think James Cameron fucked every person that came behind them when it comes to anything that has to do with water. So unless you're, like, bringing something extra to it, just stay the fuck out of the water. Because James got you. Like, and this film does not look great when it comes to the CGI and the water stuff and all this other stuff. But from the emotional element, the characterizations they did, the music, all of that stuff, I was in. And unless Disney is going to strive to bring this level of emotion and character change to their live action films, just don't bother. And so I'm on Jammer's page when I say, like, this is, for me, this is easily the best. Like, I had to go back through the list and look, and to me, this is probably the best one. I can get into why and the spoilers, but for me, like, this is it. I mean, let me get your letter grades.
Okay, letter grades and then spoilers.
Let me get your letter grades, and then we'll jump into spoilers.
I give it an A.
Danny,
C minus.
Oh, you gave Fast and Furious an E. Don't act like that's just a small jump up from Fast and Furious.
Well, it is. Well, Fast and Furious is absolute horseshit. This was an average film that was average in all ways, including special effects, and that's why it's got an average grade. I was bored through most of it. And just, I know we're going to talk about this, but the fact you said it was verbatim for the cartoon, I'm like, exactly, that's what I'm saying. What's the point?
No, if you're not the ending. Anything, just that ending. No. Just the ending. And I was addressing the fact that you... Yeah, no. So let me, because you said that you mentioned specifically the last act, and I jumped in and said the ending.
Yeah.
So
sorry, I thought you meant the whole thing was like.
Because, yeah, no, not fair, the whole. Because it's not. It's absolutely
when
not.
When it came out, that's it.
Before
and
yeah.
So
before
let me yeah before we jump into it.
No, so I also want to before we jump into it. I have one more thing after. Go ahead.
Yeah. So before we get into the spoilers, so just to be, this film has a 68% from the critics and a 95% from the audience. So I think it's pretty good. I would need to compare that to the other ones, but Jammer, go ahead. What do you got?
No, yeah, that was it. I wasn't sure you saw that or not. Just making sure that we're incorporating the Rotten Tomatoes in.
Yeah, let's do it. So do you guys mind if I go first for spoilers?
Go for it.
So for me, like, yes, the ending was, to me, verbatim from the cartoon, with one exception. I thought that they gave Ariel a great amount of agency when it came to the ending. So if you remember the ending of the film, it was Prince Eric that rammed the ship into Ursula that killed her. And so they made a change, and it was her that took the ship and did that. And so I thought that that was a brilliant change to give agency to the main character of the film. That scene did not look good at all. And I'll grant you that, but everything about all of that worked for me because, again, I felt like I was watching the animated version of it. Going back to the beginning of the film, what I really did like was the relationship between Javier Bardem and her, where they show, like, he's an overprotective father. And so to push against what you're saying when you say that it's a verbatim remake of the whole thing, they incorporated stuff from the Disney sequel where you understand his motivations for being an asshole. So his wife was killed by humans, and it was done trying to save someone else. And part of the reason she died was she was trying to get back a trinket that he had given her, that Trident had given his wife. And that's from one of the animated cartoons of the Little Mermaid that Disney made. So they took that, lifted that storyline and put it in here, and they're incorporating those things. And so what I love about that is you, as opposed to the original cartoon, where you're like, this guy's kind of a dick and he's not really understanding it. He has an actual motivation for why, right? Like when he sees those trinkets that she's collected, you kind of understand like, oh, this is him recognizing that she really is like his wife. And if he doesn't do something, she's going to die. And I loved getting to understand his thought process behind that. I loved his relationship with Sebastian. I loved that they gave Eric a lot more depth. So like this whole kiss the girl thing and all this other stuff, like they took a character that had zero depth, right? Like he was really just into her for how she looked. And they were able to take Halle Bailey and give her some agency in why it was he liked her. And it wasn't just about how she looked. It was about that he loved all of this stuff from the sea, right? He also was a collector. But not only was he a collector, she was able to show him like all these things that you love. Here's this other thing that you didn't know was there. I thought it was super cute how she explained how to say her name, because that was a huge plot hole in the original. She signed a contract with Ursula that gave her voice away. And you watch the rest of the movie like, okay, well, why didn't she just write anything that she wanted to? She could clearly spell her name. So this takes that out of that and makes it a blood contract, which you know from like lore and everything else that you've read is a much stronger kind of magic, which is why, you know, it's less of a joke when she's like, haha, I've got a contract. You can't do anything. Blood magic, that is a much stronger form of magic in all kinds of lore. And so when people say like, oh, there's nothing to this, like that was to me a much deeper look at some of this stuff. I could go on. I want to give you guys a chance to jump in. I got some other stuff, but whoever wants to jump in, go.
Yeah, I think so. You can usually divide up the Disney animated live action remake things into like three categories. You have the completely crap ones, you have the ones that are fine, but like, why bother? And then you have the ones that are really good. And I think there's only universally accepted as one that's really good. And I think that's the Cinderella one. I personally also like the Beauty and the Beast one for the most part. I think this kind of straddles the line between those two. I don't think it changes as much as the Cinderella one does, but I also don't think it's quite as verbatim as the Beauty and the Beast one, but it kind of walks that line where kind of like how Beauty and the Beast embellishes on things. This one also just, it's kind of how, trying to think of how to explain this. You know how when there's a remaster and I think the thing around it is the remaster doesn't look exactly as it used to. It looks how you remember it. I feel like this movie is kind of, if you were to revisit the animated movie, you'd be like, oh, this hit is hard. This hits exactly as I remember it when I was little. Even though if you were to watch an animated film, it may not, because it's a lot more shallow and it's a lot more fast paced and it doesn't go as deep. This one does go as deep. You really get to understand the motivations of everybody. You get to understand the motivations of Sebastian a lot better. You understand where he's coming from when he's singing the songs and when he's doing these other things. I really like also how the Kiss the Girl song, where they made it where it's like, oh, let's blend in as we're singing so he doesn't notice. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, King Triton a lot more. King Triton terrified me as a kid. I thought he was so mean. I thought he was terrifying. This one, he was warmer and just stupid about how he handled things. Obviously, you understand where Ariel's coming from. I wish they could went a little bit further, a little bit at the beginning with us understanding why she's so obsessed with the surface. Maybe if they delved more into a journal that her mom kept or something, or something to do with her mom, and that's why she wanted to. But overall, and Prince Eric, yeah, that was the next one. I think they did so much better with him. I didn't care for his song. It was a little bit too piney the way he sang it. The song was fine, but just the way he acted as he was doing it was a little bit, I don't know how I feel about that. But the rest of the song, the rest of the movie, I just thought was very, very, very entertaining. I was engaged the entire time. Yeah, I just think all the stuff they added really just added depth to the quote unquote mythology of the Little Mermaid and made me care that much more. So yeah, I consider this a huge hit. You know me, I don't care about visual effects. They weren't there. Some part like the beginning when I watched it, it reminded me of Speed Racer a bit, with like how bright and colorful it is and how things seem maybe a little 2D-ish and strange. But whatever. If it gets the point across, that'll do it for me. But yeah, that's all I have to say. I think it's fantastic.
And so, Danny, before we go to you, Kyle dropped us some good information in the chat. Of all of the audience scores, this has the highest. So at 95%, it has a higher audience score than Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Jungle Book, all of them. And so...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I find that to be pretty interesting. It's kind of middle of the road as far as the critic score, though, with a 68. So there's some much higher. So Cinderella has, I think, the highest one with an 8. Jungle Book. Which Jungle Book is that, Kyle? Is that the one with
Favreau's?
John Favreau.
Okay.
Which I did like that one. I did like that one. But that one also, for me, lost its luster after the first time.
I think that was the first of this... like new wave of,
I think Cinderella
live
was
action. Was Cinderella? I'll double check.
I believe so. What is JB? You said JB highest rated for critics. What does that mean?
Jungle Book.
Jungle Book is the highest rated for the critics. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Go ahead, Danny. What you got?
Yeah, I hear what you guys are saying, and I kind of understand where you might be coming from, but I found it interesting, Jonesy, that you mentioned Creed as the one that has the parent-child relationship, because I think that was so much better. And I don't know how you can compare these two with that high, because I think Creed got that bit better. So, I mean, while I agree, when you said Creed, I'm like, yeah, 100%, that was a great relationship feel and script in that. In this one, it was just Javier Bardem's King, I just thought was just the average father villain. I could see where it was going to go from the very beginning. It gave nothing extra, and I think that's why.
Well, you're not going to these movies to see twists and turns. You're not like thinking, well, like, no, oh, maybe thing, though, maybe he's going to kill Ariel.
Well, this is my point about why would you bother doing it if you're just going to make the same movie?
Because I don't think that they did.
Lion King beautiful, but why do it? The original animated was damn good as it was. I don't know.
The basic story is the same. Some of the lines are the same. The songs are the same. But I feel like the script itself, it goes deeper. It's like this is the animated one where it's able to be surface level. This one kind of like it follows the same.
Well, I guess
line,
I'm not seeing the depth that you guys are. I liked Eric. I thought the Prince Eric was a good character, but all the others. So I was more interested in the Queen's first man, the guy that was like the link up between the two. No, the guy that was helping him. I don't know what his name
Grimsby.
Is.
Really his butler guy? His
Grimsby.
Grimsby. Yep.
It's Grimsby.
Grimsby.
I cared more about him as a character.
Mark Strong.
Than I did. And another British guy. So I guess I'm just not seeing this depth that you guys are. And that's why I wasn't drawn into it as much. There were some great parts. 100%. Once the ring thing happened at the end, I know we're not in spoilers yet, I was just,
here
I tapped
are.
Out.
Here
I'm like, all of this is just nonsense past. How did we get there? How did that happen? I don't understand. I don't care.
Because he bewitched her.
Yeah, no,
I'm sorry,
I get
she bewitched
was,
him.
But that, yeah, but the ring was just forgotten. And then, well, go on. I don't want to get into spoiler stuff.
He kicked it like Jamie Tart. Motherfucker was like, bam, kicked the ring out.
Yeah, but then that was the end of the whole ring thing. They never even got the ring.
Because you could tell that
she got her voice back.
So here, yeah, the lore of the siren song is her ability to draw men to her. So once it was gone, she couldn't do anything. You could tell that when she, Ursula, was talking to the parent and had.
So what you're saying is all she had to do was rip the necklace from Ursula's neck and she got her powers back.
That is what happened. That's exactly what happened.
I know that's what happened. So this amazing magic that you guys think is awesome is that all he had to do was rip the necklace off. There's no blood link there.
No. That's the contract. The contract was she took her scale and that's what she gave to Ursula to make the contract. That's the blood magic. That's what stopped Trident. That's what stopped Trident from killing her. When Trident pulled out the Trident and tried to kill Ursula, that blood magic, that blood contract is what stopped him from being able to kill her.
And that's different from the siren song.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. That's where you lost me, because I thought it was all part of the same contract. I'm just,
She made a contract with Ariel. Separately, she sang, she possessed isn't the right word. What's the word?
She took possession of her voice.
No. With regards to her singing and taking control of Eric. That's not the right word. Eric.
Oh yeah, he was bewitched by the voice, by the siren song, which is the whole point of the siren song.
I think I've made it clear about why I didn't like it. I get what happened. I know exactly what happened. It just bored me, and the whole thing just went really fast. I mean, I don't know how she suddenly appeared into a giant calypso thing at the end either. What the magic of this
trident? She used the trident.
Yeah, I get. It's yeah, the same she used thing it, but at no cartoon. Point during the movie was that trident shown to be the thing that she really wanted. She just wanted revenge on her brother. So the trident suddenly power. Becomes this almighty.
Yeah, she wanted power. Thing.
And then he dies.
Just like Scar wanted and then power. Comes back.
I don't think he dies. Yeah, he gets shriveled up.
Yeah.
He disappears into the back. The whole thing. You clearly love it. So you're going to fight it. And you got your show off.
No. Because what I'm telling you is everything that you're complaining about is stuff that happened in the cartoon. So if you
don't understand it, and it's stuff that's explained, boring, and exactly the same as the cartoon.
Well, it sounds like you don't understand it.
So being bored and not understanding it are two different things. You're like, I don't understand how the ring happened. Like, okay, this is what happened. Well, I don't understand the contract and the blood thing. Well, okay, well, this is how it happened. Not liking it and being bored with it.
Let me settle on the fact that I understand all of it, and it was still boring, even compared to the first.
I loved it because I thought that it created better explanations for what happened for a lot of that stuff. So
can you explain
also
how the king came back to life then? Because
really quick, hold on. Stop. Is this something that you don't understand, or are you just bored by the fact that he came back to life?
Yeah, I genuinely don't understand. Now, all the trident did was fall down and land in the ground, and then he came back to life.
So Jammer explained it.
No one wielded it. No one pointed it at anything. She was even surprised.
So Jammer said. So Jammer said he got shriveled, not killed. So remember when. Do you remember the original cartoon at all? Do you remember the original cartoon at all? How much do you remember the original cartoon? All right.
None
so when she's going into Ursula's cave in the beginning, all those things that were trying to grab her were people that made shitty deals with Ursula that she won out on. So imagine that. That's what happened to Trident. And so when that Trident hit the... This is so annoying. When the Trident hit the ground, it restored him. Because he was like one of those things that was trying to grab her. Now, is it bad that they didn't show it? Yes. And I think they did it for the dramatic tension, because I genuinely was like, did Trident just die? I have a note that I was like kind of freaked out that I thought that they'd killed him. But what happened was he got shrank just like the people in her cave. Now, I think
that was
what happened
anywhere.
There
Where
is.
Was that?
You're right.
Where was
because
that?
I think it's something that, you have to know the cartoon
I think it's
more.
Bad.
You're right.
Yeah, you have to know the cartoon. Because that also happens in the cartoon. That's exactly
so
what
So if
she does
Ursula had dropped the trident, just dropped it because she's clumsy as fuck, he would have come back to life. He would have come unshriveled or de-shriveled, whatever it was. Because all it did was hit the floor. It didn't. That's what I mean. Ariel didn't point it anywhere or explain that now I want my father unshriveled. I'm going to point this trident at something important or at him or something. It just landed on the floor. And
how,
she was surprised.
Do you remember in the cartoon how he came back? I think it was once she got killed, he came back. I think that was it. So
I mean, that would have made more sense.
Here's my explanation.
All the magic she used has now become undone. That would have made more sense to me if that had happened.
Yeah, the fact that she's dead. So here's my explanation. You won't like it. The fact that the wielder of the trident who willed that thing to happen died is the thing that undid the magic.
Not when it but only when it hit the floor.
It takes time. I get you. Well, she takes time to die. She takes time to die. That's what you saw, but she
and
takes time to die.
At the point that the trident hit the sand is when she died.
Yep.
That's why the magic came out of it.
Okay. I mean, if this is your quibble, like, I'm not, this isn't impressive.
It's
like,
not. This is one of all of the things that I just think were just so loosely.
But again, I don't know that I think you've done a good job of separating what you don't understand versus what you don't like.
Yeah. Also, you've made me, you know what? A plus movie. Out of spite.
And so here's some other things that I'll talk about that I really liked about this movie. I really loved Melissa McCarthy as Ursula. Like, not only like the movements that they gave her as
her
the
body
octopus,
getting dragged around by the legs.
Yeah. It was so creepy. I loved it.
And
but
I did
I
like that
she
underplayed it as well.
Voice.
She didn't overdo
it. I loved her
it
voice. I loved her makeup. And I also loved that she basically had Doc Ock arms, right? So if you think about like Spider-Man 2, like the arms are like independently thinking and doing stuff. And she's like screaming at them and telling them no. Like, no, I don't want that. I want that. Oh, yeah, I got it. Don't worry about it. And like talking to them like they're individual people, which I appreciated all of that, like Sam Raiminess. While generally Awkwafina doesn't do a lot for me, I thought that Scuttle was perfect for her. Like, I thought that she was great as this like scatterbrain kind of character, and her and David Diggs perfect together. And so, you know, the other thing that I really
My favorite song, by the way, was the Scuttle song, Scuttlebutt. That was
and I was
going to
say what I really enjoy about that was the fact that you could really feel the Lin-Manuel Miranda influence in it. So like he helped with a lot of the original songs for this, because I think there's three new original songs for this movie, and he helped with those. And so like when they start rapping, you're like, oh yeah, that's Hamilton all day right there.
Yeah. So it's funny for me, is literally the whole movie I was thinking, who is Sebastian? This person's really good. And at the end I was like, oh, well, no shit. It's Dominique Diggs.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, of course. Lafayette. Yeah. Obviously. So I'm trying to think of what else we could talk about before we jump out of spoilers. I don't know. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I like that you got here. Oh, here's the last thing I'll say before we jump out of spoilers. Okay. I love the cameo from
out
Joni
of spoilers.
Benson. No, before we jump out of spoilers, I love the cameo from Jodie Benson, who is the original voice of Ariel, because she was the one that handed the fork to her in the village.
Oh,
and that to me was like a passing of the torch to
I was going to ask you that because they lingered on that character for a long enough time for me to think this is someone important
who is this?
That I should know. Who is it? Why are they giving this fork bearer such prominence?
I love it's a torch. Like it was such a big deal in the original, and here it is. And I love that. And
also I will say Halle Bailey's voice, she sounded exactly like she sounded exactly like her from
chills.
The cartoon. It was crazy. It was weird.
And my last thing for spoilers was I loved when Trident said to her, I should have heard you, and you shouldn't have had to lose your voice for me to hear you. And when I tell you, like, I was like the tears were like welling up. I was like, oh my God. You got me.
Yeah.
You guys got me. But I thought that Halle Bailey's performance was fantastic. I thought the two of them were great. I thought that they did a really good job fleshing out Eric's character. And lastly, very problematic that Sebastian was the only one with a Caribbean accent in the original. They fixed that, right? They flipped the entire world. He was the normal one and Eric was the other, right? He was the one that they found and adopted and brought in. Fantastic job. So for me, A+ film. I recommend it to anybody. That's all I got.
Solid A for me, and A+ if I'm talking to Danny, just out of spite. So there we go. I think we're ready to move on.
Ready to move on. So we've got some Star Trek news out there. We got I've been dying for this. So next month, June, we've got season 2 of Strange New Worlds. I'm particularly excited for this. It's a shame that Nick isn't here to talk about that. We've got Jack Quaid and Tawny Newsome that are going to appear in live action on Strange New Worlds as their characters. So Beckett Mariner and Boimler. So that's going to be exciting to see them interact with these classic Trek characters. I don't know what the storyline is going to be, but we know that they're also going to have some animated stuff in this episode. Beyond that, I thought that the trailer itself was really good. You get to see Carol Kane, who's going to be in this. She's going to be the new head engineer. And like, if you've ever seen anything she's in, you get to see like her very high energy. And she's going to be quite a contrast to the last engineer from the last season. So that's going to be exciting. You've got some more tension between Nurse Chapel and Spock. And then you've also got Number One, who was taken from the ship because she was genetically engineered. And so it'll be really interesting to see what to do with that. And I'm curious if that's why we see so much Kirk. And this is he's stepping in as Number One for some reason.
I guess that. That's what I was wondering, whether or not he stepped into the place for some of the episodes or certainly for a chunk of the series.
For a little bit, yeah. And then the last thing that I noticed about this, or not noticed, well, noticed, they didn't mention or show anything about Cybok. So at the end of last season, they teased Spock's brother, half-brother. And there was nothing mentioned or seen in this trailer with that. So I'm really curious about that. So I have two questions for you guys. How excited are you for this? And are there any other franchises where you want to see like this kind of live action stuff happen? Because we've gotten this with, so this franchise, we've seen it in Star Wars, right? Where we've seen Bo-Katan, the live action mesh with the animated character. And I know we got another one. It was poorly done with Kevin Conroy. So he was the voice of Batman in the animated series, and they brought him into the to do a crossover in the Arrowverse, and that was fucking terrible. I hated that. But yeah, those are my two questions for you guys. What do you got?
That question was long. I forgot the questions. No. So
are you excited for this? And do you want to see more live action animated crossovers?
I did just start Strange New Worlds this past week. So I watched the first two episodes of it.
So jealous.
It's pretty good. Here's the thing. I like it. It's very well done. It's good. I'm realizing more and more. I just think spaceship crew shows just don't do it for me, which is fine.
Fuck off.
It's not me.
Just when I'm talking to Jamma.
No, it's an A-plus like, just because.
No, it's a very well done, very well made show so far. Very well made show. It's just is not for me. And I'm realizing more and more, watching Babylon 5, watching Star Trek. Literally the only thing that's resonated with me fully in Star Trek is the J.J. Abrams reboot. That's it. Everything else has been good, but not for me. Sure. I'll watch the rest of Strange New World. I'm sure I'll get more into it. I'm sure I'll enjoy this whenever it gets, but I'd have to watch Star Trek Lower Decks next, which, hey, why not? May as well go for it.
Can we all just agree that it is so strange that J.J. Abrams' best Star Wars movie is that first Star Trek movie? Isn't that just weird?
Quiet in the cheap seats. Sit down, Carl.
Kind of weird. I don't know about weird, but yeah.
It's definitely an audition for what he did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to his credit,
I love that.
Even though I don't, I like it, but it has weird, weird plot problems.
It does not hold up.
It does. It does have weird plot. Leo, I agree with that. It does have weird plot problems. There are a few of them.
Yeah, the main one is the bad guy just disappears for decades after he does one of the things he's supposed to do, and you find out that there's an entire deleted sequence. Like they've got this Superman ship.
They should have kept that in.
Got confiscated by the Klingons. Like what? What kind of weirdness is this shit? Anyway,
yeah,
it makes no sense at all.
Look what you've done, Kyle. This is why we go on longer.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited for the season. Danny, what from this trailer? What got you going?
Yeah, I'm not as excited by this trailer as I was the first one, but that doesn't mean to say that it hasn't piqued my interest and I'm chomping at the bit for it now. I think the first trailer for the second season just really reminded me how much I enjoyed season one and how much I want these characters back. So for me, this second trailer had much of the same elements. I'm like, you already have me. You have me at hello, that kind of thing. You don't need any more trailers now. Just hurry up June, was it 19th or 10th for its drop?
Something like that. I'm just the 15th. It's right in between.
Right in between. But I did first season. I absolutely loved. I thought this was the kind of Star Trek that I'm going to enjoy a lot more than, because I, as you know, I kind of struggled with the other one, the one set of millions of years in a future.
Picard or Discovery?
Oh, Discovery. Although I've grown to enjoy Discovery a bit more, but at the time it was like, no, this Star Trek is bang on the money.
It is right in
is
between.
Is it the 15th? Yeah, I just saw. Thanks, Carl. Asshole. But I'm super stoked by it. Your second question, though, I was struggling to think of. There's only one animated series that I'd like to see live action, and it's What's not that? A space one. Archer. I absolutely okay. love Archer from FX, and I would love to see that as live action.
Did you have a spit take yourself?
I almost choked on my water. It was such a random pull. It was weird.
Sorry, dude, but that's the only animated one I'd just love to see live action. I don't even know if it would be any better or worse, but it's one of my favorite FX shows, Archer, and I've loved it since the beginning. So that would be my crossover.
Is it H. John Benjamin or John H. Benjamin? It's
gotta be H. John Benjamin.
Something in between, probably.
He looks nothing like Archer, right? And so that would be kind of the very hilarious thing, right? Where Bo-Katan looks like Katie Sackhoff. Boimler and Tawny Newsome look like those characters. Like, seeing that would actually be part of the comedy. Like, that would be great.
He could pull off Bob from Bob's Burgers, though.
Yes, he could. Easily. you guys got anything else on Star Trek?
To answer that question, Jonesy. Sorry, Carl. Jonesy, answer your own question. Second part of that question. Animated crossover.
I don't know.
You can't ask a question and not have an answer yourself.
Why not? I'm not legal. That's kind of my thing.
He's the lawyer. I'm sure there's a loophole.
Have you ever, are any of you guys Venture Brothers fans?
Yes. Although none of us are as big of fans as Tanya.
Tanya likes Venture. So
Tanya
I actually
love Venture Brothers.
Me and Christine both love Venture Brothers a lot. I've actually got a Monarch t-shirt. I think that could potentially work as a mature rated live action on an HBO type situation. And I'm not convinced that you couldn't get Patrick Warburton to be able to be Brock Sampson in real life, although I don't know how he'll look with long blonde hair. But there's no one else that could play that voice.
He cut it, and that could be part of the story, right? Like, Sampson got his hair cut, and that was like the thing that got him in trouble, so you could make that part of the storyline.
Before they ever touch something like that with live action, I would want them to finish the animation series. So, anyways,
aren't they supposed to? I keep hearing that they were going to, and then
that was back when HBO Max was trying to become profitable by spending more money.
So is that gone
they
now?
Gumball. Venture Brothers and Metalocalypse, no official word. So
interesting.
They're probably gone.
More than likely.
That sucks.
Yeah, things usually they usually don't announce when something's not going forward. It just disappears.
Well, it wasn't like in the announcements of other things, like when they said, "Hey, we're not moving forward on some things." That wasn't mentioned, but who knows? It might end up just being on regular Cartoon Network Adult Swim in the future someday, but who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. And the last thing I'll say about Star Trek before we move on to the next story is I'm excited that Jonathan Frakes is coming back to direct more episodes. He's done a fantastic job, I think, making a name for himself behind the scenes in Star Trek, all the way back to Next Generation directing stuff, and then also probably one of my favorite Next Generation movies, if not one of my favorite Star Trek movies, which is First Contact. So I'm glad to see that they just keep bringing him back in to do stuff.
Written by Ronald Moore.
Yeah, man, that guy. So good. So good. Anything else for Star Trek before we move on? All right. So Vin Diesel, when he was at the premiere in Rome for Fast 10, he started talking about the fact that he was developing spinoffs, not just a female spinoff, but spinoffs for Fast and Furious. He started developing these back in 2017. What do you guys think about that? Or how do you feel about that?
Oh, I think you could. Anyone listening to this probably knows how I feel about this. I really, enough. Let it go. Make 10.
Okay, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you then. Let me come up with a challenge. Create a spinoff that you would want to see. It's coming. You can't stop it. They're going to make it. So make one that you would want to see.
Honestly, I think the only character that I would actually like to see more of with a decent writing team, please, Fast and Furious people, I think would be Letty. I like Letty as as an action character. I like her as an
oddly enough, she's the one that was like, "Nah, I'm done."
Ugh.
She talked about passing the torch.
They're just two-dimensional. The way they've been written so far, I really should caveat that. The writing is so awful since Fast 5. I just tapped out. But given better writing, I have a secret for you.
It's never been good. It's just gotten worse over time. It's been like, the thing about the first one is like, it's like tries to be a genuine movie. The second one is like, let's lean into the weirdness. The third one is like, we don't care anymore. Let's commit suicide on screen. The fourth one was just like, hey, let's bring it back to its core. And the fifth one is like, hey, you remember everything from all of the movies except for the third one? Let's bring it all back in one big fan service. Sixth one is let's continue that. Seventh one is like, hey, our main man's dead. Let's profit off that.
Gotta get right around that, yeah. Wow, you said let's profit off? Oh my God. You know what? It's funny.
Jonesy, which was the most profitable one? Which was the most profitable or the most?
But they didn't.
They did a good job. But
unlike Black Panther, which was like, you know what? We're gonna make him die in this one too. We're gonna make you come watch this. That I think is a little different. It's funny. I'm surprised you didn't say that the first Fast wasn't. What's the Keanu Reeves?
Point Break.
Point Break. Yeah, it's just Point Break with cars.
Yeah,
100%. I don't know. I don't think that the writing, you know what? I think I can pick a point in time when they started going down, when the Fast series started picking a fight with Neil Moritz. I think that's when everything took a turn. So he was a producer on these from like the beginning. And I think once they started infighting with him, I don't know what influence or what he was bringing to this series, but I think that that happened right before Hobbs and Shaw started filming. And so I think that after 8, everything took a dive. So 9, not that great. Hobbs and Shaw, not that great. This one, not that great. And again, I don't know what influence or what he was bringing to this series. I could be totally wrong.
Well, I mean, you could still say like something happened at that point. That's the point. Literally you point at after Fast 8, it's been crap. And before that, you know, it's been stupid but entertaining me, and the last ones have been stupid and not entertaining, so that's a problem. So
I wish I could find an article or something that would talk about like
in
what
2018
he was bringing to the series
in 20 oh where he brought so in 2018 he filed a lawsuit against Universal for breach of contract. That was removed him as lead producer of Hobbs and Shaw back in 2018. So back then, and the next one that came out after that was Fate of the Furious was 2017. So yeah, F9 was 2021, Fast 10, 2023. That checks out.
Yeah. So I'm curious what happened. We're not even talking about the story anymore.
Oh yeah. What was the story? Oh yeah. The spinoffs.
The spinoffs.
I hope I want to see what they do with the last one, because I'm hoping that this one is just like is a kick in the pants for them to be like, oh no, we should probably do a good job next time. And if it ends on a high note, then I'm like, okay, give me more good stuff, you know, like because there's potential for this series to go, you know, in a better direction. I hope maybe it focuses like have stuff focus more on, you know, make it more grounded, not necessarily grounded, but make it more grounded, have it focus more on street racing a bit more, which could be cool. And whatever that whole thing, and maybe detach yourself a bit from like the spy element a bit more. I'd be open for seeing that. Kind of what I hope F9 would be, but or F10, Fast 10.
10,
Fast X.
So I can tell you what I think 3 of the spinoffs will be. It will be an agency spinoff. that will be with Brie Larson and maybe somebody else, because I think that's probably the reason why she signed on.
Not Alan Ritchson, because he's going to die in the next one.
He's going to die. He's going to die horribly.
No one dies. We're also going to have
the villains do. Calm down.
The bad guys die. Yeah, the bad guys die.
Actually, or they get converted to family. That's a good point.
I think there's going to be one about Dom's son. So you're going to get that, because that kid keeps like jumping in age every time. So like,
he's like 25 in Fast 10, and he was a baby in Fast 8.
That's right. And then I think you're also going to get the female-led spinoff will be the one starring Elena's sister. So I think that's the reason why he saved her and why she was such
a... Oh, see the racer down in whatever country they went to, Brazil.
Brazil.
The person we'd never met
She was
the
sister of... She's basically his sister-in-law, right? Yeah. They never got married, but that is his son's aunt.
From the police officer woman that he married.
Yeah, son's aunt. He didn't marry her.
Okay, the dude that died in the car crash when they did the race, or maybe didn't die. Have we met him before? Was I meant to care about him?
We did? Who?
Jared shaking his head.
When?
I can't remember.
But they didn't kill anyone in this film. They killed loads of people.
Died.
But we're not going to come back. Well, you would think Dom's brother died as well, but I've got a feeling he's going to come back somehow.
I'll find it. I knew when we talked about it, and I forgot. Give me a second. But yeah.
But was he someone we meant to have known about, cared about, as in the previous film? Okay. Because I didn't know.
You lost me there. I thought it was just a guy they focused on just enough for us to realize we should care about him. I didn't realize he was from something.
Yeah. Give me a second. You guys ready to move on? Let's talk about something else.
Yeah. Ready to move on.
I can't vamp long enough to look and do that.
That's fair.
So
let's move on.
Let's move on. So we've got a brand new story that makes me pretty excited. It is about the fact that they're doing a remastered collection of the first three Metal Gear games. They're called Volume 1. And in particular, they're going to remake Metal Gear Solid 3. It's going to be Metal Gear Solid 3 Delta Snake Eater. Not only are they remaking it, but they're bringing back motherfucking David Hayter as Solid Snake. Who I think, like, I am over the moon about this. All respect to Kojima, but fuck Kojima. I was really upset with how he, at least to me, disrespected the talent. This guy carried the series. And regardless of how you feel about David Hayter as the voice of the character, I would say that the majority of people that enjoy those games like his take on that character. I think Jammer is the only person that I know of that isn't enthralled by like when Metal Gear, like the way that
let me rephrase
some of that stuff.
I was enthralled when I was in like elementary school through high school, and then time passed,
and then you went to film school.
And then I heard him again, and I was like, "This sounds like a guy trying to put on a gritty voice. It's not natural." And I remember, and admittedly, I'm also biased for this reason, because I know for decades, literally from like since I played the first one through four, I was just like, you know who'd be a really great live action Solid Snake? Fucking Kiefer Sutherland. And then he became the voice of Solid Snake. So I was like, hell yeah, perfect. I was right all along. And also he has a naturally gravelly voice. So it's more natural. It sounds right to me. I'm sorry, but I understand the nostalgia. I get it. It just sounds put on, which is fine, I guess. But it just doesn't feel right.
All that learning fucked up your brain, son.
This has nothing to do with film school.
It has everything to do with film school. You will never be able to convince me otherwise. So, what else? Anything else? Danny, you like nothing. You got nothing on this, right?
No, I didn't play the games, unfortunately, so I really haven't got anything on this. I always defer to your better judgment on this team when it comes to this stuff.
You should also defer to our better judgment on Little Mermaid.
So, the guy that we're talking about, Luis
De Silva Jr., for those listening on podcast, I just flipped off Jammer.
So I think Luis De Silva Jr., he was the guy from Fast Five. He was the one, I think, when they first went to Brazil. Remember when they went to get the cars? they were like, we need to get some cars. He was the guy that they raced to get the cars then. That was him.
Wow, that's a cut.
And so, yeah, it's that's kind of what made this movie again so frustrating is everything goes back to Fast Five. So unless you remember Fast Five, unless you watched it the week before you went to see this, there are little things like that that you'll miss. So, yeah, glad we solved that mystery before we shut it down.
Thank you, Jonesy.
Shut her down.
All right. Well, folks, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. If you like what you heard, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, how did you feel about The Little Mermaid? Are you excited about David Hayter coming back? Are you a Trekkie? What do you got? What's your flavor of nerd shit? We got you. Just jump over to Discord. Unless you're trying to sell state secrets, keep that bullshit off my Discord server. Fucking what's National that? Guard. Keep up with the news, Jammer. Keep up with the news. This show's been produced by Kyle Malone. We've got some Joseph Jammer Medinas. We've got some Danny K. Bartlett's. Yeah. And I'm your host, Brandon Jones. We'll catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get it on ya.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.